me though in preparing some of the slides that I'll show. I've been asked to talk about the oil and gas industry, its performance and future and challenges. I'll focus mainly on the kind of future and challenges. Australia's oil and gas reserves. We have about 20 billion barrels of oil equivalent in Australia, of which oil makes up only 2 billion barrels. Our oil reserves are declining, and APA estimates that by 2017 our self-sufficiency will be as low as 32%, down from the current 60%. Australia's hydrocarbon energy future is in gas. It's not that oil's insignificant. In fact, last year, as Red said, WA produced 71% of Australia's liquids. Our newest oil-producing province off Exmouth is expected to produce around 30% of Australia's oil next year. But Australia's not rich in oil, so I apologise in advance to those of you who would like to hear about oil, because my focus is going to be mainly on gas, domestic gas and LNG, because of its great potential here in WA. Australia's got discovered gas resources in the more than 150 TCF, and probably growing with the coal seam things that are happening in the eastern states. But of that 150, we have some 130 TCF of discovered remaining gas in Western Australia, or enough for 130 years at the current production rates. Since production started in about 1960, we've produced only 12 TCF of gas. That's 5 TCF of domestic gas and another 7 as LNG. Okay, so I'd like to look to the future, and I mean, world energy demand is forecast to grow strongly by about 40% to 2030, and it's particularly exciting when you look at gas. Regional demand for LNG is projected to grow at a massive 80% to 200 million tonnes per annum, or 9 TCF per annum, by 2020. Up from 110 million tonnes per annum today. Much of this increased demand is uncontracted, and projects are being timed to take advantage of market opportunities in Japan, in China, which is a big one, Korea and the US. It's important, though, to understand that underlying this demand is several important structural changes that I believe will sustain a growing gas market. The first of these is the shift from oil to gas as a preferred energy source. Gas is expected to overtake coal as a primary energy source by 2015 globally, and it'll overtake oil by 2050. A lot is written about peak oil. Have we reached peak global production, or are we able to increase production? Some believe it, some don't. The fact is, the oil and gas industry globally has failed to replace oil production with new discoveries for the past decade. Exploration has replaced only 45% of oil production globally for the last decade. Gas production, on the other hand, has been fully replaced and indeed grown. Now, the second structural shift is the global, structural change is demanding global LNG, really driven by Asia's and in particular China's hunger for energy, but also the dwindling gas reserves in the US. The US consumes about 22 trillion cubic feet of gas a year, and at current reserve levels have enough gas for 5 years' supply. So they're hungry for energy as well. Australia's location on the Asia-Pacific rim allows us to be competitive in the Pacific Basin markets, and our political climate is stable, security risk is low, and we have a reputation for very stable supply. The third shift we see is one to do with security of supply. As energy demand has grown, governments are becoming increasingly concerned about energy costs and security of future supply. And they're taking very strategic positions now in gas resources. National oil companies, or oil and gas companies, are becoming increasingly active, and of course with their low cost of capital, they're extremely competitive. In Australia, we've seen the state and the Commonwealth government adopting policy positions that reflect their growing concern about energy security. For instance, the WA government's domestic gas reservation policy. The fourth factor affecting gas demand, of course, is rising concerns about greenhouse gases. Customers are recognising that gas, which is half the greenhouse gas emissions of coal and the liquid hydrocarbon fuels that it replaces, is beneficial for the environment. In fact, APA estimates that given the right market conditions, local and LNG gas produced by Australia has the potential by 2020 2020, I think the number is, to displace 180 or reduce 180 million tonnes per annum of carbon dioxide. That's something like 25% of Australia's total carbon production. So it plays a significant role in reducing greenhouse gas. So the rise of gas as the fuel, the structural change in global LNG demand, and growing security of supply concerns, plus the carbon footprint benefits of gas, my conclusion is that the upsurge in demand for gas is not short-term. It represents a sustainable shift in sort of the global energy patterns. Now, I want to highlight one other factor on this chart that's affecting the oil and gas industry, and that's development costs. This chart shows the CERA, that's the Cambridge Energy Research Associates Index for capital costs. Capital costs have more than doubled since 2000 in our industry, and they're still rising. And it's not really showing a lot of sign of flattening out. While there are significant opportunities for LNG and local gas created by regional economic growth, the massive increases in capital costs mean that there's mounting pressure to develop these resources in the most capital efficient manner. If we look at now to domestic gas, the WA gas market's in transformation. Essentially, the days of cheap gas are gone, and we're moving to a higher cost paradigm. Why? Because the low-cost gas, which was condensate-rich, that was near the coast, in shallow water, is either all produced or it's already contracted. The new gas is much more expensive to produce. It can be characterised by the four Ds. It's more distant from shore, it's in deeper water, it doesn't have the condensate, it's drier, and it's dirtier. It's full of CO2 and nitrogen, which has to be processed. Inherently, this gas is more expensive to produce, and when coupled with the capital cost increases that we see in our industry, costs of local gas supply have to rise. Now, as this picture shows you, because of the low market, really there have been no signals in the last few years to encourage the upstream oil and gas industry to invest in additional capacity. And we reach a point today where the green portion is existing capacity. The red line shows 4% growth in the market. We know right now that growth is probably more likely projected at around 7%. So you can see there's a big gap already from 2008 to 2010. In the short term, we're unable to meet demand. In the medium term, new supplies come on stream from Reindeer and Macedon, but even then, it's pretty tight. It's only in the longer term when some of the bigger projects and perhaps LNG projects start to bring domestic gas to the beach that the situation starts to ease. I think another thing you can see from this picture is the current situation where we're exposed really to two supply hubs, the North West Shelf domestic gas plant and the Varanus Island plant, means that the risks that we've been living with for the last 15 years or so around security of supply, which we've really felt the effects of in the last few months with the outage of the Varanus Island plant, that's with us for quite a while to come. And it's probably only in 2013 or 14 that we're developing sufficient additional supply capacity and diversity that the risk starts to sort of fade. I suppose the good thing is that driven by international commodity prices, domestic demand is growing, and the signals are there and new developments are proceeding. But short term, it's going to be extremely tight. I do believe, though, that in the longer term, LNG projects are actually good for domestic gas, because LNG is a way with which we can bring, through synergies and economies of scale, bring sizable domestic gas developments to the beach. And that's the turn now to LNG. WA's only production is from the North West Shelf Venture, which currently supplies Japan, Korea and China. The gas plant at Karratha outputs almost 12 million tonnes per annum of LNG from four trains. And when the fifth train comes online later this year, it'll increase to 6 million tonnes per annum of LNG. I think it's important for you to have some feel for the economic benefits of an LNG project to kind of put these potential developments into context. The North West Shelf has annual sales of more than $10 billion. That's generated by 6,000 direct and indirect employees. The project life is more than 40 years. It contributes around $1 billion per annum to federal and state coffers through excise and royalties. And it represents around 1.2% of Australia's GDP. Now, looking to the next decade, it's quite possible there could be up to 7 LNG projects nearing completion or under construction in Western Australia. In the Carnarvon Basin, these include the Gorgon project, Scarborough, Wheatstone and Pluto expansion. In the Browse Basin, up near Broome, not a bad place to have an oil and gas operation, we have the Ichthys project, the Prelude project and the Browse project. While the development schedule for these projects hasn't been locked in yet, it's quite likely that we could see up to 45 million tonnes in production by 2024, up from the current 16. But the challenge is huge, and it raises an important issue that faces our industry, and that's efficient development of the state's resources. I think we're really at a point of choice. To date, there's been the one really big project, the North West Shelf, and then the Pluto project on the Burrup. But we're at the point of choice. Industry's current practice is for every proponent to develop an LNG project based on their own resources, their own site, their own infrastructure. This approach is resource intensive and it's inefficient. It places a lot of burden on government in relation to approvals, but also in terms of supporting infrastructure that we all know is stretched very thinly. Furthermore, there's limited availability of suitable sites for LNG locations on the West Australian coast. In the current environment of high capital costs, high demand for our resources, intense competition for workforce and equipment, and thinly stretched regional structure, we need to ask if there's a more efficient way to develop these resources that develops better outcomes for everyone. Now, I believe there is. The alternative is to have a more managed, strategic approach to development by creating several common user LNG hubs or parks in the state's northwest, where multiple LNG developments could proceed, similar to the concept being pursued by the Northern Development Task Force in Broome, or for the Browse projects. Just to illustrate some of the potential benefits of a hub approach, this slide shows the production profile for a hub strategy shown in red versus the current practice of standalone individual projects. I base the standalone profile on currently available public data. It shows that the common user hubs facilitate earlier development and production, resulting in earlier sales, higher value to both project proponents and government, and in addition, potential for earlier domestic gas. Once the first LNG developments are in place at a hub, subsequent developments effectively become brownfield developments with lower overall capital costs compared to several discrete projects. The ability for an LNG hub to access multiple gas fields allows for installed capacity to be significantly increased and enhances security of supply. So, I've summarised the advantages here. Broadly, they include reduced environmental and heritage impact, economic benefits for the developers, from sharing infrastructure and improved scheduling of LNG developments. For the government, the benefits include infrastructure savings by limiting the need for road, port, power facilities. The opportunity to centralise support services such as education, health and police at larger centres which house the LNG hubs and improve planning to underpin economic development. To give you a sense of the capital benefits, a three-train Burrup hub offers capital costs lower capital costs of almost $8 billion, while the projected savings for a Kimberley hub is in the order of $3 billion. The benefits to government include substantially increased PRRT and corporate tax payments. Again, by way of illustration, the capex savings for a three-train Burrup hub and Kimberley hub lead to an 11% increase in company tax and PRRT revenues, or almost $10 billion in NPV terms. So there are savings in landside costs of more than $100 million associated with the scenario I just described. This is largely expenditures for social and common user infrastructure that would not need to be made by the state. So clearly, with reduced costs, stranded assets may become more economic, and this approach would also undoubtedly enhance domestic gas economics. The potential environmental benefits include reduced environmental and heritage footprint, more efficient power generation, and the enhanced potential for carbon capture and storage. All right then, to summarise, there is a shift occurring globally that sees gas as a favoured fuel. Our state has an abundance of gas resources and they're in high demand both in the region as LNG and locally as domestic gas. Domestic supply is expected to remain tight in the near to medium term, but the current price signals have encouraged new developers to proceed. The state's high reliance on just several suppliers that's causing our current crisis is unlikely to change significantly until at least 2013. In the longer term, LNG projects, which give the economy of scale to justify offshore investment, will enable larger scale, lower cost domestic gas supply. Looking to the next decade, it's possible that we could see up to 7 LNG projects nearing completion or under construction in WA that could see up to 45 million tonnes of additional LNG production by 2024. While there are significant opportunities for LNG and local gas created by our fantastic economic outlook, recent massive increases in costs mean that there is a lot of pressure on developing these resources efficiently. The key challenge is to find a more efficient way to develop these resources than the current standalone practice, which is resource intensive and inefficient. So I've argued that a strategic hub approach and the considerable benefits they bring to the proponents, the government and the community should be considered as a means of achieving capital efficient development of the state's gas resources. Thank you.